with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
She's coming in hot. It's Shayna Goldman from The Athletic here on Sabres Live. And that's not verbally. It's fashion-wise as well. Shayna, this is your opportunity to show off to the MSG audience right now just this incredible fit you're displaying. Yep.
We have an upcycled goat head blanket sweatshirt that I'm keeping for myself. Sorry, friends. But I will try to remake if I can buy more of these blankets.
This is pretty incredible. Like, that looks fantastic. And the Sabres are wearing black and red tomorrow for the first time of the year. It's hockey Halloween. It all comes together. I wore the black and red the last game, which it didn't wear black and red, but it worked. They beat the Dallas Stars. So I'm hoping to get the good vibes going again into that sense. Was that the best game the Sabres played this season when they played Dallas the other night? Or do you anticipate this is the standard now?
Yeah, I feel like that was definitely their best game so far. And I know it's been a low bar, and obviously it wasn't perfect, but to do that against a team as good as Dallas, right, it's all the more impressive because they're a team that's like well-built front to back, the goaltending, they have the balance. And generally speaking, like if they go down in games, you know they're going to put up a good fight. And they did, and the Sabres still were able to hold on. So that's a little bit different from that game against the Penguins. Mm-hmm. Encouraging start. You're seeing guys like Tage Thompson do what he needs to do. He's earning those accents back to be our guy, Tajay. So that's what we really want to see.
Tajay. Yes, comes in on a nice, tidy point streak tomorrow against the Red Wings, who are hot. And obviously Dallas had the bounce back they were hoping for last night by defeating the Bruins in Boston. I wanted to start, but your fashion blew me away, so we had to start there. I wanted to start by wishing you a happy Nevada Day. And that's why we're going to get early hockey today. So if you're planning like an afternoon, Friday afternoon happy hour, your reward, if there's hockey on the screen, is going to be Ottawa and Vegas. This game starts at 6 Eastern, 3 local, as the state celebrates its founding, which was October 31st of 1864. Now, the only reason I really wanted to go down this path for both of you is not only the early start time, but among the things they are doing to celebrate during their Nevada Day parade and all the festivities, the World Championship Single Jack Rock Drill Competition.
Pardon?
I can envision this, a single jack rock drill competition. There is also a beard contest. So these are among the things that, you know, Nevada is continuing to hang on to.
Nevada is known for their single jack drilling and their beards. Like, I'm confused there. I didn't even know there was a... Do we have a New York
sense.
Day here?
I mean, people went west. They were digging and digging and digging.
Do we have a New York day? Like, celebrate New, and no
we're
schools.
We're self-important 365 days a week. Days a week. Oh, my God. Yeah. Days a year. So I guess we don't need one day.
Anyway... if the crowd is even more boisterous than usual in Vegas, you'll know why. They've been celebrating all day long. So
I was wondering why there was a 6 o'clock game between Ottawa and the Vegas Golden Knights. But okay, Shayna, let me ask you this then, because Ottawa's playing the early game and the Ottawa Senators in point percentage are number one in the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic's a mess. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Nobody wants to like assert themselves. And Buffalo all of a sudden find themselves in, they could be in second place in the Atlantic if everything falls into place before their game and their game tomorrow afternoon against Detroit. So what's with the Atlantic, and who do you think is the best team or teams to watch in that group?
Yeah, the Atlantic is a really weird one because you have the Bruins, who are legitimately frauds as contenders. Yes. Year after year, I feel like their underlying numbers are getting more suspect. Last year, I remember in the beginning of the season looking at it, being like, why are they losing a lot of games in the shootout or blowing leads? And you could just see some really concerning five-on-five trends, especially if I remember correctly, in the third period. And this year, their five-on-five trends are just bad. So yeah. They don't want to win. Sorry. Sorry, Boston. They have some things to figure out there for sure. Toronto has their issues, some really bad habits creeping in. I'm not blaming the power play for not clicking. I think Wohl looks very rusty, so we'll see how he does moving forward because those were two pretty bad starts. But I think the defensive breakdowns leading up to those really quality chances are making things a lot worse for him. Florida looks good, and they're going to be at full strength soon with Barkov back, so I'm not worried about them at all. And the way that they rebounded after that loss to Minnesota, like, good for you. I think Tampa is a team to watch. Tampa looks great. I think Kucherov is scoring a million goals this year, and Gensel's going to be setting him up for them instead. So that's encouraging. So I think you have the two Florida teams as the ones to watch, the ones to beat right now. But I like that Ottawa and Buffalo are making things interesting. I mean, Ottawa, we've been waiting for how long? And to be doing it with Ullmark sidelined is a little bit more impressive to me. Because we know that they have all this star potential, but then there's been injuries to their center depth, or, you know, players like Tim Stützle. It's like the bad defense overtakes what he can do offensively. So if they can start, you know, finding their way, maybe they could be that Atlantic Division disruptor I think we've been clamoring for between Ottawa, Buffalo, or Detroit for some time.
Do you think this Detroit success is sustainable?
No, I'm, well, the thing is when you win a game with 11 shots on goal and then last night you do it with what, 14, like the Devils controlled play last night. And I think goaltending was really their undoing. So that game, I would not have said Detroit should win. And that penalty kill is a disaster right now in all of the ways. It's not just goaltending, it's everything. So they need some work for sure to let the results sustain, right? You need to pick it up below the surface.
Okay. You mentioned goaltending in New Jersey. Jacob Markstrom is probably bottom five or six in the NHL right now in goals save above expectation. That was their problem last year with Vitek Vanacek and whoever else they had back there. They went and got Jake Allen. He helped a little bit, but is New Jersey with Sheldon Keefe at the helm now, having an issue again, trying to get a save or two, because I think they got a good team and they got Hughes and Pesci back, but can't get a save.
Yeah. Like, I think that there is work to do in front of the crease, right? And we're seeing Jack Hughes look like Jack Hughes, which he did in for the first few games, and coming off an injury. Okay. And Nico Hischier is thriving. So you have the pieces starting to click, right? Even Timo Meier's bouncing back after last year's disaster. I think there's some work to do on defense. I think they need to reshuffle their pairings around, figure out a way to maximize Dougie Hamilton a little bit more, because I think he looked better last night, but I've been a little bit underwhelmed by him to start the season. But yes, you need good goaltending, and it's tough because the Devils should be the kind of team that if their goalies have an off night, they are so good in front of the blue paint that they can carry them. And that hasn't been the case as much. I mean, last night, I think it was a little bit of poor puck luck for them. But I'm not so worried about Markstrom. Allen, I'm not really surprised, because I think his really good years in, like, Montreal were a little bit more of aberrations than the reality of what he is at this point. With Markstrom on paper, I think he's a really strong goalie for the Devils, because you look at Calgary and why his numbers were so good, and they were even better because of the saves he was making off those defensive breakdowns and, you know, those quick turnovers that were leading to shots against. He's really good for that, which I think clicks with their rush-based system. But, I mean, he needs to hit his stride a little bit more. I don't want to be like throwing stones. I do have some questions about the Devils' goaltending development system, because I do feel like sometimes we see goalies go there to die or not maintain their consistency. So I do wonder if maybe there's work to be done in that, you know, in that facet of the organization to help their players a little bit more.
They only have the greatest goalie. Well, no, the second greatest goalie of all time, because Dom was the greatest goalie of all time. But that Marty and their front office did Marty Brodeur to develop the goalies in New Jersey. But you're right. Like, was it Dawes? It was Akira Schmid. It was they had a lot of prospects, and it doesn't seem to develop into anything.
And Blackwood even.
Blackwood, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even when Corey Schneider was there, like, mm-hmm. it didn't go.
Well, Corey was really good.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was shock and dismay in the NHL last night. Minnesota fell behind for 7 minutes in their game against Tampa, but they recovered with three straight goals and won the game. So it's now the Jets and the Wild, the only two that still have a zero in the regulation loss column. Winnipeg, of course, is perfect overall. Who's the better team in that central, Winnipeg or Minnesota?
Ooh, tough one. I'm going to give a very slight edge to Winnipeg, because Connor Hellebuyck's year-to-year success, I think you don't match that. And I think that their offense is popping a little bit more. I think that they're playing a better two-way game. But I don't want to discount what the Wild are doing, because the Wild are playing to their identity, which they really failed to last year at times. This is the best defensive team in the league again. They look incredible. And the goaltending now they have to back it up. Gustafsson's back, bounced back. He looks more like the version he did 2 years ago, which is huge for them. Kaprizov is clicking. You have Rossi between that line, which allows for more lineup balance because you can go Eriksson Ek with Boldy, which is exactly what they've been missing. When you look at last night's game, their third period, the way they locked it down, I think according to Natural Stat Trick, they only allowed Tampa to generate 0.1 expected goals for. They had some shots, but they weren't quality shots. And Minnesota put up 0.7 expected goals. It's not, oh my God, overwhelming offense from Minnesota, but they're so tight defensively that they're just suffocating their opponents. And that's exactly what they need to do if they're not going to be this high octane scoring team. They're creating enough to, you know, win these games with a pretty good margin because they're so stout defensively and so steady in net again.
Are the Colorado Avalanche back? I know it was a tough start and Georgiev was not great at all, but they beat Utah. Obviously, Utah is having some issues with their injuries, but, you know, they get a great game from Justus Annunen again. So are the Colorado Avalanche back with their backup as the lead cause for it?
Yeah, Annunen has, what, 3 quality starts in a row now, I think, for the Avs, which is really encouraging. And they're a team kind of similar to the Devils in that they don't need perfect goaltending. I know they've had a lot of injuries to navigate, but it seems like they're figuring out what to do. Like, Casey Millsat has been such a good fit there. Mm-hmm. Ross Colton right now, you move him from 3C up to wing, and it's elevated his game to a new level. And while I don't know if you necessarily keep him there, it's a great option to have while you're figuring out that middle six, which is the biggest question mark of all. For the Avalanche, all they have to do is weather the storm of not having Lehkonen, Nichushkin, and then Landeskog, who, you know, it seems like is going to return this year. It seems like they have figured out a way to do that right now, which is going to help them in the long run, because as they get those reinforcements, they're going to look like maybe one of the deepest versions of this team we've seen in a minute, right? Because where they finished off last season, I think it was the best team that they've put out in a couple seasons too, because that depth finally was there. So they can get back to that this year if they keep up, if they can just weather that storm and keep going. And I think you see some of those passing plays on their goals and some of that speed and power again, you go, that's the Avalanche I know.
They've won 4 in a row. They're back to 500. Makar and MacKinnon extended their league-leading point streaks to 8 games last night. Ross Colton has 7 goals, which is one off the league lead by Kucherov. And indeed, they look like the team that is absolutely what they were expected to be, and who knows just how good a run. I mean, we've been talking this week, actually, and you can make this really brief. Do you think Makar can stay in the hunt for the Art Ross?
No. But, no.
He's going to get 100 points, right? He's going to get 100 points.
Yeah, I just think the forwards out there are going to push past that. I think Connor McDavid, you're seeing him, like, hit his stride. Once that power play starts going in Edmonton, watch out. And I think Nikita Kucherov is going to, you know, give him a run for his money. But do I think he's going to be in the Norris conversation more than he was last year? Because I don't think he was as good last year.
Right.
Absolutely, yes.
What do you make of the fact that Shea Theodore will now be around for at least 7 more Nevada days to maybe take part in a single jack rock drill competition? What do you think of his new deal?
I think it's a great deal. I think he's a great offensive defenseman there. I was really curious to see how this situation was going to shake out, because when you look at Vegas, I was wondering, are they going to go for another winger? Are they going to make a big trade for a big-time winger? Because that's what they're missing. You know, all the Marner speculation, the whole summer, I'm going, you know, Theodore plus something else from Marner would really cook. Like, that could be the deal. But I don't know if I want to give up Shea Theodore if I'm Vegas. I think it's very smart to lock him up. He's their best offensive defenseman. They have a lot of two-way talent that you need someone like that offensively, but it's a lot of money on defense now with Hanifin, Petrangelo, and Theodore. So it's like, where are they going to make cuts? Where are they going to be ruthless this time to make everything click? Maybe they go really, really, really cheap in net because they feel we're so good in front of it. But you know that other shoe is going to drop. I just think making sure that shoe drops in Vegas with Theodore is the move.
Okay, but I feel like Theodore took a team-friendly deal. He probably could have been an $8 million defenseman plus easily. And this comes into the whole, well, no state tax in Nevada. They celebrate Nevada Day because they love that they don't have state tax. That's probably why we don't have a New York Day, because we have high taxes in New York, and that's why we don't want to celebrate that. But is this going to be another one of those contracts that we're going to look and say, well, it's an advantage to Nevada, Florida, Tennessee, and those type of states?
It's an advantage for sure, but sometimes I think the advantage actually gets overblown because so many players are taxed on the road, right? You go all across the country, you're still playing 41 road games. And for some, cities and states, you're taxed. You might be taxed for both in some cases, like Detroit and Michigan, I think it is their city and
Philadelphia,
state tax.
I think is Pennsylvania and Philadelphia taxes. Yes.
Yep. Same with Pittsburgh. And some of them count them as a duty day. So if you're there for practice, you're getting taxed for that day too. If you land at 11:59 the day before, that counts. You might, you know, you want to get that, the plane in at 12:01 instead of 11:59. So it's so tough to just say the impact of taxes when I think sometimes we just look and go, well, their home salary, when we're not accounting for the days that they're on the road. It's an advantage for sure. It definitely helps. I'm sure it also helps that you say you want to be on a competitive team and you want to be a team player. This is what you have to do. And here's the internal cap we have. And you're a second pair guy, even though I think he's one of the best defensemen. You can use that to leverage him to a lower number.
Yeah, agreed. I was going to be so bold as to say maybe he just likes winning. And that would be why he took the contract that he did.
I always say Duffer, what's another $500,000? What's what's the $500,000?
Every time we go out for lunch, you say
that.
And if you're in Vegas too, do you care about that $500,000 or do you fight for your trade clauses so they can't just pull the rug out from under you and trade you? That would be, if I'm a player in Vegas and you go, okay, well, you have the benefit of winning, you have the benefit of no income tax in the state. I would also say I would fight tooth and nail to have control over my future. So if they decide to trade me, at least I can decide where.
Amazing.
It's a good point.
Great way to end it. Shayna, one more show of the fashion, please, for the audience.
Yep. I got to get more Sabres gear up there. More is coming. I actually might have a goat head jacket on the way soon.
Wow. Ooh. Well, that's
perfect for tomorrow.
Great. Yeah.
It would be.
Oh,
it won't be ready.
Yes. Please pay attention tomorrow, Shayna. We will have some incredible goat head apparel that we will be displaying here on MSG. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.